attorney. Group kind of drunk and wearing down and late afternoon. Nobody online. They're seeing you at Cornell again, so that's encouraging. That's great. We need one.
This is Stanley from USDA. I don't know if you can answer this question, but I was curious. When you license a gene or a trait from a company, they've already done a lot of the safety assessments for that protein and that gene. Do they also give you the access to regulatory data, or do you have to regenerate that?
To us, it's important to share the regulatory data. A true partnership would not require reinvestment or, you know, recreation of the regulatory data. That defeats the very purpose of partnership and the cost effectiveness we talked about. So long as there's no conflict there, there's no loss of a commercial interest for a company, we would look at regulatory data as part of this partnership, clearly.
As a follow-up question, there's a lot of traits are going off patent coming up, so I think that's a great time for public sector to take advantage of that. But the private sector is trying to put together this consortium to kind of figure out how to give access to this regulatory data, because that's the kind of that's what is the most costly.
I see a few kind of models evolving there, because the off patent is clearly a case. 2013 to 2017, there'll be a number of genes out in the open, and now with the current regime, where it's a lot restrictive in securing gene patents, we're going to have a lot more open access to genes as we move along, unlocking the IP restrictions there. But there's also a clear case of private sector, you know, realizing that speed is essential. For the very reason that patents are going, you know, out of protection, really. So the speed drives many private sector to partner with others within the private system as well as public system. If they're not going to get them out into markets, they just lost it. That's a second driving factor. I think the third is there are a very number of smart young companies who are providing excellent third-party regulatory dossier support services. These outsourced services, and public and private are teaming together to make use of these services there. So all the three will drive partnerships, you know, in the future, really.
This is Larry Beach. BJ, you have a chance to visit with you know, people in places like Bangladesh and other countries where, have you had conversations with them about the idea of being able to access the regulatory information that is put together in the Philippines or somewhere else, and whether they are receptive to those, to being able to do that? Do they understand?
It's a very important question. I think, you know, the great accomplishment we have seen here is countries recognizing each other's competency and the frameworks within which these dossiers are developed. In case of Bangladesh, you know, initial regulations required that we generate a base data for them to allow confined field trials. And when we moved with that data both to India and Philippines, there has been recognition, because we brought all the regulators together all the time in kind of consultation process, in taking an approach to regulatory dossier development itself. And that really helped countries to recognize each other's frameworks. And within their own framework, they add on few elements that they feel are mandatory for them to cost effectively, you know, assess the safety factor. So I think there is a general recognition that we should respect each other's competency and look at only gaps that they feel in their country context are relevant for them to further pursue. So some of the studies on pure protein, for example, is common today in potato. The toxicology package is one single package for us. So that's really saved a lot of time and money for us, really speaking. These are, you know, carried out in OECD recognized labs today. Maybe in India, you know, maybe elsewhere. So these are, that's where I think the competent third party service providers today give us a common approach mechanism where countries can recognize these service providers' results and then, you know, take them as unified package. And that really contributes to affordable, you know, solutions in delivery of technology.
Any more questions? Looks like we're at the end. Thank you, Vijay. So, Frank wants to say a few words. Before he does, I just want to thank everybody contributed to this. We've got Larry and Jenny, of course, and Zachary and his whole group. So thank you all for the good work. Thanks very much. I really felt like it went well. So Frank, you want to make some comments?
Okay. Thank you, Ronnie. Yes, I would like to make a few comments. This has been 10 years of a lot of fun. With the agriculture, biotechnology is cutting-edge stuff. Like I mentioned earlier in my talk, it makes for a great novel. We've got international intrigue. We've got controversies. We've got Supreme Court challenges. We've got cutting-edge technology. It's all here, and we've been successful in a lot of ways. Now we don't have a product on the market yet. We should, but we don't. When we see that within the next 3 to 4 years, or maybe or so. We probably will. So the idea is that the 10 years of ABSB2 will be coming up the end of September. We are looking at going into possibly a no-cost extension for the following year to keep the project going. And the idea would be to possibly keep this extended through to the point where we actually do have the BTA plant, the late blight-resistant potato, and some of the other projects on the market. Okay? And so with that, I'd just like to thank the people that work on the project. We respect every bit of it. We understand how hard it is and how frustrating it is, especially when it comes to some of the challenges we have with the misinformation that can be disseminated out there. We understand that this is a controversy, but somebody has to do it. The multinational companies have decided they don't want to take on the anti-GM movement. It's not in their best interest to do that. So really, it's left to the public institutions to do so. And there aren't too many projects like ABSB2 out there. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is funding a few projects. Other than that, I really don't know anybody that's funding a big publicly derived ag biotech type projects. And so we're here to take them on, and we're here to get it out. And so with that, I'd just like to thank everybody. I'd like to thank you for having the interest of everyone here that's listening. Thank you for having the interest to find out what we're doing. And I hope that you found this informative and educational. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your help in moderating my first webinar. I appreciate it. Thanks and bye-bye.